Well, as has already been said and has already been sung, today is the day that we as Christians, that we as born-again believers, that we here at Lighthouse Bible Church celebrate the most incredible event in all of human history and the foundation in which we as Christians hold to and the faith that we build upon, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ being raised from the dead after being in the grave for 3 days. And that then also becomes the message that we are called to share with a lost, dark, dying, decaying world. It becomes a message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that becomes the good news. That's the gospel that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is the good news about Jesus Christ dying on a cross, being buried, raised again the third day. As a matter of fact, Paul said in that passage in 1 Corinthians 15, I declare to you the gospel, the good news, which I preach to you, in which you also received, and in which you stand, and by which you were saved. He goes on to say, this is what the gospel message is. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he raised again on the third day, according to the scriptures, and he was seen by many. When we look at this gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, I want to look at it in two parts, because this truly is who Jesus is. This is what sets him apart from every would-be prophet or Messiah or somebody who claims to be a God. There is only one Savior, and it is Jesus Christ. And what sets him apart from everybody else is what the gospel message is. Christ died for our sins. It can't be any clearer than that. And the reason he had to do that is because the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that happened because of Adam and Eve in the garden. God said, don't eat from this tree. The devil comes along and says, did he really say that? He tempted them. They fell into the temptation. They disobeyed God. And from that point on, he said, when you do that, you will surely die. They will die spiritually, separated from God, and eventually they would die physically, and they did. That's why Romans 5:12 says, for as by one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, so death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. There is none who have not sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. As a matter of fact, David said in Psalm 51:5, in sin, my mother conceived me. Not that she was doing something sinful at the time. He recognized that when he was born in sin and he was born separated from God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we go estranged from the womb, from God. That's why Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. That includes every single one of us. And it doesn't matter any sin, and it only takes one that separates you from God. Whether it's the sin of lying, stealing, taking the Lord's name in vain, lusting, anger, hatred, gossip, unforgiveness, just to name a few. That's because God is a holy and just and righteous God. He cannot look upon sin, and he must punish sin. And because the Bible says, and what is true, we've all sinned, we all deserve to die, and we all deserve to live separated from God forever in a place called hell. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sins shall surely die. That's why we have death in the world today. Death exists because sin exists. But the good news, the gospel message that Paul was sharing is this: Christ died for our sins. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But verse 23 of Romans 6 goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He died for your sins and for mine. All the sins that we committed, he died for, past, present, and future. And he's the only one that could, because he was the sinless Son of God, the only one who could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So through his sacrifice, through his death, through his dying and being buried and being raised from the dead, we can have forgiveness of sin. And that's a wonderful thing, because we all need it. That's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life." Every sin forgiven, and only God can do that through Jesus Christ when you put your faith and trust in him. As a matter of fact, Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:25, God, he's quoting God here, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Isn't that a wonderful thing? Every sin you've ever committed, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ through the gospel message, he will remember no more. Sometimes for us, we have a hard time forgetting those things. Isaiah 44:22, "I have blotted out your transgressions and your sins like a thick cloud." You can't see through a thick cloud. God is saying, "Listen, that's the way I see your sin. I can't see it any longer because it's been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ." Jesus told the Apostle Paul in Acts 26:18 that he was going to send him with that gospel message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he would say this, "I'm sending you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." And then just a couple of verses later, in verse 25 of Acts 26, he says, "The only way that this is possible is through Jesus Christ, who would suffer and die, and he would rise from the dead." The only way our sins can be forgiven is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin." He doesn't put it to your account. He doesn't put sin to your account. He has done away with that, and only God can do that. Ephesians 1:7 says that in him, talking about Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, Jesus died a cruel, torturous death on a cross in order to redeem us by shedding his blood so that we could have our sins forgiven. That's why Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness." And Jesus Christ shed his blood. He died on a cross for us. You know the account. It actually started in the garden, didn't it? Luke records that just before Jesus went to the cross, he was praying in the garden, and Luke records that his sweat was like blood. He was so consumed with dying for the sins of the people that he began to sweat, and it came out like blood. But it didn't stop there, because after they arrested him, the soldiers started beating him. The scripture said they pulled out his beard. The scripture said they put a towel around his face and they began to beat him. And each soldier would come by and strike him in the face. And of course, they had his face wrapped, so they would say, "Prophesy to us, Jesus. Tell us who it is that's hitting you." Like he didn't know. But I can tell you this, on the day of judgment for any soldier that never came to Christ, before they get cast into a Christless eternity in hell, Jesus is going to say to them, "You were one of them. You were one of them." Because he knows. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head, similar to that, and they beat it down with a rod so he's bleeding. They whipped him on his back, all over his body until he was bleeding. As a matter of fact, Isaiah says you could not even recognize him as a human being. But the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness. And that was the ultimate shedding of blood through Christ dying for our sins. Then they took him out And they nailed him to a cross, his hands and his feet. He was bleeding from all over his body. And then he says, after 6 hours on the cross, it is finished. And they thrust a spear through his side, and out comes blood and water. And the writer of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness. But because of Jesus Christ, he has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And only he could do that. So the second part of that gospel is equally important. The first part of it is Christ died for our sins and that he was buried. But the rest of that goes on to say, but he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's why we celebrate what we do here this morning on this day that you call Easter. That is Resurrection Sunday. It is the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead to live forever. Death and the grave could not hold Jesus in because he is God in human form. He was the Son of God. He had to die for the sins of the world. And because of that, every one of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and to everyone, his gift of mercy and grace is offered so that you can have what many people in this room have, and that is a living hope. That's why 1 Peter 1:3 that I read earlier says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." How did he do that? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. First of all, there is an abundant mercy offered to God to everyone who would receive that. Everyone who would call upon him for mercy, to cry out for the forgiveness of sins, and to receive the salvation that he alone offers. You remember when we've been studying in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, where the tax collector wouldn't even so much as lift his eyes to heaven. And you remember what he said in the temple? He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He was crying out for God's mercy because he knew that in and of himself he couldn't be saved. He couldn't experience that mercy apart from God extending it to him. And Jesus went on to say he went home justified rather than the self-righteous Pharisee who said, "I do all of this great stuff, all of this religious stuff." And Jesus says, "You are still damned in your sins and you're going to hell. But this man will go home justified because he cried out for God's mercy, recognizing that he in and of himself could not save himself." That's the same mercy that's offered to all. And by the way, Psalm 103 verses 10 to 12 says this, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Aren't you glad for that? Because if he did punish us, and if he did give us what we deserved, we would all deserve hell and death, right? But that verse goes on to say, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us." What a great promise of hope. It's only by the grace and mercy of God that we have forgiveness, that we have salvation, that we have eternal life because of Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, raising again on the third day, because he is the sinless Son of God, rising from the grave to everlasting life and offering that everlasting life to all who will call upon him to be saved. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God showed his abundant mercy by withholding from us what we deserve. And that's what mercy is. Not giving us what we deserve. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. Instead of punishing us for the wages of our sin, he punished his own son, Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he takes away our sin and he imputes and he gives to us, he puts to our account his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. His resurrection from the dead provides us with a living hope because he lives. By the way, there are some benefits of that when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Romans 4:25 says, He was raised from the dead for our justification. He was raised from the dead to give us a right standing before God. That's what justification means. It means to be acceptable, have a right standing before God. Because as a sinner, none of us does have a right standing before God, nor could we. But when He dies on the cross and He's buried and He's raised again the third day, and we put our faith and trust in Him, then and only then can we have a right standing before God. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, If Christ is not raised from the dead, then you're still in your sins, and those who have died in Christ have perished. You see, He rose from the dead, but there are some people who don't believe that. And Paul says, listen, if you don't believe that, there's some consequences for that. You are still in your sin. And Christ says, if you die in your sin, that's the end of it, because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, then after this the judgment, and you are still in your sins if you don't believe what Jesus Christ did for you. You will, in essence, perish. And by the way, that word perish is used other places in the New Testament to talk specifically about being cast into a place called outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth, a place of torment, and the flame that Mike was sharing about in Sunday school. It's a place that we know as hell. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ becomes a very, very important thing for us to understand and know. 1 Peter 3:18 says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, listen, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. We have been brought to God by Jesus Christ in His resurrection. Apart from that, we couldn't get to God. But you want to know something? People today try to get to God, don't they? They try to do all of these things to earn their favor with God, trying to get to God. But when you think about it, there's only really two kinds of religions in the world. Number one is the religion of human achievement, where people try to reach up to God in all of their goodness and all of their works. And then there's true Christianity that reaches down to sinful mankind through Jesus Christ and offers salvation. Nothing else can do that. 1 Peter 1:21 says, Our faith and our hope are in God because Jesus was raised from the dead. We have a faith and we have a hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive will meet the Lord together in the air. He is alive, and someday He is coming back, and that's the hope that we have. Those verses and so many more in Scripture are the reason that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is so important to us. And as a result of His abundant mercy by raising Jesus Christ from the dead, He says we have a living hope. Because He lives, we shall live also. And that hope is described in Titus 2:13. We're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, When Christ is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Listen, our hope, our assurance is an eternal life in heaven after we die because of God's abundant mercy and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now that's hope. Because to be absent from the body for a Christian and a born-again believer is to be what? Present with the Lord in heaven, right? 2 Corinthians 5:8. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? Philippians 1:21, he said this, For me to live is Christ, but to die is what? Gain. There is so much more to gain by leaving this earth with the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then he went on to say, It's more needful for me to stay with you. Because I want you to know the gospel. I want you to know the truth that has set me free, that can set you free as well too. And by the way, just as a side note, that passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, according to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again to a living hope. That word begotten is also used in verse 23. And there it's translated born again. You see, this hope, this resurrection, the application of that is only for those who are born again believers. They're the only ones that have this living hope. Because Jesus lives, and because he lives, we shall live also. We have a hope in this life because of what the future holds. We have a hope in death because of what the Lord has done and will do. And let me say this. The unbelieving world does not have that kind of hope. And maybe you are here this morning and you don't have that kind of hope. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 2:12 says this, if you're not a born-again believer, and I don't like to use that word Christian because some people call themselves Christians and they're really not. But Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So that's a more proper word to use. And so if you are not a born-again believer, Ephesians 2:12 says this, you are without Christ and without God, and you have no hope. That may be you here this morning, but now you've heard the gospel message and you have a choice to make. Do you believe that God is holy and that you're a sinner and that your sins have separated you from a holy God? Do you believe that your sins must be punished through the death and eternal separation from God in pain and torment in the darkness of hell if they've never been forgiven? Do you believe that God loves you enough to send his own sinless son to be punished and die in your place for your sins? Do you believe that you must repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus and his finished work on the cross as your sin bearer so that you can receive forgiveness? Do you believe that by calling on the name of the Lord, you can be saved from the penalty and the punishment and eventually the presence of sin? When you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you have a choice to make. Everybody in this room does. I want to close by sharing this with you. Listen very carefully. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was in Athens and he was sharing the gospel message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that he offers to all those who would repent. The people to whom he was talking to were from varying backgrounds. Some were idolatrous, some were philosophers, some were curious, some were religious worshipers of other gods, some were indifferent, some were selfish, some were proud. Some just wanted to hear some new thing. So Paul shares with them the gospel message about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, he says this. He has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all, raising him from the dead. Now listen very carefully to the next verse. And it says, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, every one of them there from all of those varying backgrounds heard about the resurrection of the dead. This is their response. Some mocked. Others said, we will hear you again in this matter. And some believed. It's the very same way today. Where are you with what you have heard this morning and maybe have heard over and over again? First of all, are you like the ones who mocked? Does this seem like foolishness to you? Are you in your mind right now mocking everything that you have heard? Is your hard-hearted heart of unbelief hardened to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, let me say this to you. Whether you want to or not, and whether you believe it or not, you will be a part of the resurrection, but not the good part. Listen to this. Daniel 12 and verse 2 says, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." There are two kinds of resurrection, one of the just and the unjust. John 5 verses 28 and 29 says, "The hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth." Listen, that doesn't leave out anybody. Everybody who has ever been in the grave will come forth. And listen to what he says. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. You have done evil the very first time you sinned against a holy God. And if those sins have never been forgiven, you will be raised from the grave, but it will be to everlasting contempt. Acts 24:15. "I have hope in God that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Hebrews 6:2 talks about the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. It is a judgment that will never end. Just like heaven has eternal life forever, hell has eternal punishment and the consequences forever. Where will you go? If you mock what you hear and are indifferent to that, and it's meaningless to you and it's foolishness to you, listen to this from Revelation chapter 20. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, whose face and earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in them. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If you mock the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if it is foolishness to you, if you think you're good enough to get to heaven, then this is the place that awaits you. By the way, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 describes the lake of fire as a place of fire and brimstone where they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So my plea to you here this morning would be this: repent and believe the gospel. It is not foolishness, it is the truth, whether you believe it or not. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ before it's too late. Well, there's another group that told the Apostle Paul, "We will hear you again in this matter. You've heard it this morning." Does this maybe pique your interest? And maybe as you're sitting here, you're thinking to yourself, "Hey, maybe I will come back next week and hear some more about this." Well, we encourage you to come back, believe me, time and time again. But let me also hasten to say to you, you don't know if you even have a tomorrow. You don't know if you even have a next week. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. 150,000 people die every day in the United States. For them, it's too late. It's appointed unto man once to die, then after this comes the judgment. If this at least does something to you to cause you to say, "I will hear him again on this matter," please come back. But more than that, repent today and believe. And I'll take whatever time necessary to walk beside you, to help you to understand the truth of the Scriptures, how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can know Christ as your Savior, and how you can have that same hope that many here have this morning of heaven. Well, there's a third group in there too, and it said, "Some believed." And by the way, you cannot believe apart from God opening up your heart to that truth. And if for some reason in your mind this makes sense to you, for the first time you believe that you are a sinner and that your sin has separated you from a holy God, and now you feel the weight and the guilt of your sin because you offended a holy God, you realize that he sent his own son as a sacrifice to die for your sins, you realize that he came to save you, you realize now for the first time that you need to get right with God, because you never have before. You thought you were good enough. You came to church all the time. You did all of these nice things. And now for the first time, you recognize the fact that your righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight, as Scripture says. And you're coming to the place now where you believe this is the truth. Then call upon the Lord. Ask for his forgiveness. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, this is something that you're called to do today, not tomorrow, not next week, when you hear the truth, because you don't know if you have a tomorrow either. If he opens up the heart to the truth of the gospel, you respond to that in faith and repentance by turning from sin and turning to Christ and yielding to his lordship in your life. And you can experience that hope that many of us here have. So where are you at this morning with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? That's why it's so important to so many of us here, because of what it meant to us, because we were in that place at one point where we came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. We recognized the sinfulness of our heart. We cried out to him and we were saved. Some of you aren't there yet. You need to be. Let's pray.